the rest of the story. Attorney Isaac Arnold was having second thoughts about all this. Such serious and belated reservations that he could not now imagine how he'd gotten involved in the first place. To begin with, the litigants and the lawyers preparing for trial that day were all friends of his, longtime friends. The 56-year-old widow, whose freedom was about to be taken away from her. She was a friend. The son who was attempting to do so, to take her freedom away, he'd also been a friend. He was also accused of trying to poison his mother. The attorney who was helping son Bob put his mother away, well, that was Isaac Arnold, another friend of the family, for more than 30 years, in fact. Ostensibly, lawyer Arnold would be representing the hapless widow. And yet his services had been carefully, calculatedly enlisted by Bob and opposing counsel Leonard Sweat. They had come to him and said, in effect, that this woman must be institutionalized, and if they did not catch her by surprise, she would have time to mount a convincing defense. Put Bob's mother in a mental institution? Arnold shook his head. He'd always known she was eccentric, but in an asylum? Do you have any expert testimony to support that, Arnold asked. Oh, they did indeed. The testimony of five doctors. She's been examined by five doctors, Arnold exclaimed. Well, not exactly. She'd been examined by no one, in fact. The aforementioned physicians, once again, were family friends. Friends of Bob's, anyway. They would testify that his mother was insane as sort of a favor to Bob. Well, Isaac Arnold's role was to be this. He would take Bob's mother as his client, but he would not defend her. It was as simple as that. You're not after her money, are you? Arnold asked nervously. Bob answered that he would, of course, control his mother's estate after the inevitable pronouncement, none too soon, because it seemed to him that she would otherwise eventually spend all of her money on things that she did not need. She was spending a great deal, you see. And without asking, Arnold realized something else, that in the event Bob's mother were later to die under suspicious circumstances, and in light of her accusation that her own son had once tried to poison her, Bob's most convincing defense would be that her accusation was insanity. So Arnold, despite a last-minute attack of conscience that almost postponed the trial, proceeded with the sham, contested none of the trumped-up evidence. He presented no contrary expert testimony. The all-male jury deliberated for only 10 minutes before rendering the verdict that Bob's mother belonged in a state mental institution, and she was taken away. Now, a second trial more than a year later would reverse the finding of the first. So Bob's mother, released from the asylum, her estate restored to her, lived out the remainder of her life a free woman. But once upon a kangaroo court in Chicago, May 19, 1875, in the days when benign neuroses were neither understood nor forgiven, there was a son who slam-dunked his mother with a little help from family friends. You'd thought the excitement ended with the death of Bob's father. But now you know that the family melodrama was only beginning, aided and abetted by old chums who cared little for Mother Mary and who dared not disappoint Bob, Robert Todd, the only surviving son of Abraham Lincoln. Now you know the rest of the story.